This is a podcast from Consilio. We bring people together to create better places.
Hello and welcome to Better Places, the podcast from Consilio where we talk about all things property, planning and politics. In this special summer episode of our podcast, we break from our usual format by going straight to our interview, where our very own Katie Brown will be discussing whether Cambridge 2040 is an attainable vision or a distant pipe dream.
So today I'm delighted to be joined by our guest, Colin Brown, who is Head of Planning and Development at Carter Jonas. And it's a family affair, as he also happens to be my dad. So thanks for coming on the podcast.
No problem, Katie. Good to be here.
So I thought it would be good to talk to you today about what's been going on in the last few weeks, as there's been a lot of noise coming out of DLUHC in the last week, particularly around Michael Gove's announcement and also the leaked article in the Times last month. And I'm sure our listeners will be aware, in his speech, Gove unveiled the government strategy for completing its manifesto pledge of delivering 1 million homes by the end of this parliament. And he was also setting out his strategy for building on the work in the Levelling Up white paper and announced the regeneration of three further cities in London, Leeds and Cambridge, where he has set out a plan to supercharge the city as Europe's scientific capital, including a vision for a new urban quarter, which will be backed up by the newly formed Cambridge Delivery Group. So to begin then, what was your reaction to the announcement from Gove?
I would say it was quite a varied reaction. I don't think any of us quite saw the article in the Sunday Times coming in the way that it did, but I suppose it was a classic example of government leaking information in advance before a formal announcement. So inevitably, you know, there were some pretty grandiose headlines in there. The detail then obviously emerged through Mr. Gove's speech that he subsequently gave. And I think probably overall my view would be I think it's a good announcement. I think it's positive for Cambridge. I think it recognises Cambridge's role both nationally but also internationally. But clearly there's going to be a need for a huge amount of detailed planning around delivery. But I think, you know, as a starter, I think it's a good place to be.
Great, and you touched on sort of Cambridge's role there. Why do you think the government is focusing so much attention on Cambridge over sort of other knowledge centres in the country?
Well, it's a very strongly performing local economy. You know, considering it's a city only of about 150,000 people, it really, to use the slightly hackneyed phrase, it really punches above its weight. And, you know, it is the home to a number of internationally significant businesses, some who've chosen to go and locate in Cambridge, but also, I think, critically, it is a city that has spawned many new innovative companies. And I think, you know, obviously with the association with the university, you know, one of the foremost universities in the world, you know, the government really understands and gets the fact that it is uniquely placed in the United Kingdom to deliver, despite its existing size.
Mm. And I suppose the announcement that probably stuck out to people the most was the creation of this new urban quarter. Is there any indication of what he's referring to and whether that's one of the emerging sites that the council is looking to bring forward, or do we think that it will be a completely new site?
Well, as I said earlier on, there's a lot of detail that yet needs to emerge, and I think one of the things that we all need to understand is, you know, what is that location? You know, there is uncertainty about it. The press announcements in the Sunday Times a couple of weeks earlier, they talked about a level of development in the area which was, you know, completely, I suppose, out of proportion with what has been achieved historically. And, you know, they were talking about, you know, 200,000 to 250,000 new homes, whereas the council at the moment, through its current plan, is looking to deliver rather less than that. Understandably, it's looking to deliver rather less than that. So, you know, that's part of the context of it. As to where that specific, you know, quarter may be, it's really hard to know. It's hard to know how big it is intended to be. As I said, the numbers are slightly eye-watering. It's difficult to see that a single quarter alone is going to deliver what may be needed. There are thoughts that, you know, the site could be the Cambridge Airport site, where it's known Marshals will be relocating away from Cambridge over into Bedfordshire. So it could be that. That has been a site that has been spoken about for development for many years. It could also be the site at North East Cambridge, which is the current sewage works for the city. But, you know, even combined, those two sites probably only have a capacity of around about, you know, 15 to 20,000 new homes. So even they are a bit of a drop in the ocean compared to the level of growth that has been spoken about.
Mm. And it was interesting that there actually weren't any references to the scale of development in Gove's speech, unlike the article in the Times a few weeks prior. You mentioned the sort of differing targets. The article in the Times referred to as many as 250,000 new homes. I think the council's calculation is about 51,000. How do you see both parties being able to reconcile these differing figures?
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, who knows whether that 200 or 250,000 is, you know, a genuine aspiration, or whether it was just simply part of the initial leak. Cambridge and South Cambridgeshire, to give them their dues, have actually done pretty well on delivering new homes. And, you know, I think if you look at the statistics, they've probably been, you know, amongst the fastest growing areas in the country in terms of new homes actually coming on stream over the last decade. So the scale of growth has been good already. The councils are, I think, as many people know, currently reviewing a single joint local plan, which is, I think, a really good step that they've taken to work together on that through the sort of Greater Cambridge Shared Partnership. They, I think, are already planning for an ambitious level of growth. As you say, the latest thinking is that they might be looking at around about 50,000-51,000 new homes. There is a view being expressed in some quarters that that may not be sufficient because the level of jobs growth has actually outstripped what had previously been assumed. And so there are, you know, some forecasts that are suggesting that, you know, the number needs to go up quite markedly. But I've not seen anything that would suggest that purely based on, you know, current anticipated rates of growth that you're going to get anywhere near 200,000 or 250,000 as the level of need. So I think what it represents is a very clear and definite intervention by government, if indeed it is correct, to say, actually, we are going to completely change the pace and the rate of development in the area. This isn't going to be quite so much about, you know, managing that conflict between, you know, growth and protection, but actually we need to be more on the front foot and be more ambitious for Cambridge and really impose an even stronger presumption in favour of development going forward.
Mm. And also, I mean, one issue that everyone seems to be talking about at the moment in Cambridge is around water. And there's been quite a bit of pushback to the plans from local MPs. I think South Cam's MP Anthony Brown responded to the announcement that we have run out of water, and I know there's been quite a lot of sort of resistance from the councils as well. Gove has announced a £3 million funding pot to improve water efficiency of existing buildings in Cambridge to offset demands created by the new local plan. What more do you think can be done to solve this issue?
Well, I think it needs a really significant investment overall. I mean, whether £3 million is going to cut the mustard, I would very much doubt. I can see that may help with, some retrofitted works to some existing buildings. But I think what we really need to have is a real focus on, you know, efficiency going forward. We're probably going to have more, you know, district schemes in terms of water recycling and minimising, you know, water consumption, in a way that probably hasn't happened in the past. I think what the government also are going to have to do is they're going to have to really fast-track enhancements to the water infrastructure. So at the moment, the thinking is that there are two principal interventions. The first one is to upgrade existing infrastructure, which would bring in more supplies from areas to the west of Cambridge in the Anglian Water area. But, you know, there are question marks about how quickly that might happen. There is talk about 2030 being a reasonable time frame for that. The ultimate long-term solution is the construction of a new reservoir in the Fens, but that's not estimated to come online probably much before the mid-2030s. So there's obviously, you know, a period of time between now and say 2030 when there is a very urgent issue and a very urgent problem. And I think it just highlights the challenges about turbocharging the economy locally, because, you know, water is undoubtedly a constraint to development. And whilst we had seen principally water getting in the way of some of the bigger strategic sites being granted consent, we have just started to see some evidence of smaller commercial developments. I'm not saying small, but smaller commercial developments of, you know, two or three R&D type buildings, you know, also potentially being held back because of the water scarcity issue. So it's a massive issue, and I'm pleased that the government recognise it and are going to put resource into resolving it.
Yeah, and I think, as you say, the short to medium-term solution is going to be really important. You mentioned some of the sort of larger strategic sites that are being held up as a result of this. So, yeah, definitely sort of up there in terms of importance.
Yeah, agreed.
Another issue which I think is being felt by sort of planning departments up and down the country right now is just the volume of applications coming through. And I think sort of rightly, you know, the announcement has caused some anxiety. You know, will planning departments be able to keep up with the volume of applications, you know, if the government's sort of 250,000 new home pledge is in fact sort of realised? Gove has announced a super squad, what he calls a super squad of planners, to help relieve some of this pressure. And I think their first job really is to look at Cambridge. Do you think this is enough? And what more do you think planning departments and developers can do to help to sort of alleviate this problem?
Well, thank you. That's a really good question, Katie. And I think we probably just need to take, you know, half a step back in the first instance, because the background to this is that really, in real terms, funding of local authority planning departments has gone down very significantly over the last decade and a half. And there is no doubt that, you know, those resource shortfalls are really beginning to bite now in fast-growing areas like Cambridge. And I work pretty extensively and you know, closely with the planners in and around Cambridge. And, you know, they're hardworking and they do their absolute best to deliver. But, you know, the resourcing is a major issue, added to which, of course, Cambridge is a very expensive area within which to live, as we all know. Public sector planners, unfortunately, don't get remunerated terribly well, and therefore it is always hard for them to sort of recruit staff. So, you know, there have been, you know, a lot of factors that have caused, you know, the hold-ups, the delays in actually processing schemes and getting them through the system. So, you know, against that backdrop, obviously, to, you know, turbocharge what's going on in the area and to, you know, suddenly see potentially a, you know, 3-5-fold increase in levels of activity and therefore potential planning applications, you know, without massive funding from government is completely unrealistic. I don't like the term super squad. I think it's slightly demeaning. I think it's somewhat insulting to those who have worked pretty hard in the area with, you know, frankly, with a hand, if not both hands, tied behind their backs. So I think really what the government should be focusing on is a better overall level of resourcing for the planning system, not just in Cambridge. I mean, Cambridge obviously has a, you know, a significant role, as obviously the government have identified, but it's something that needs to happen absolutely across the board, so that, you know, ultimately planning can be there to do what it's supposed to do, which is to ensure that we deliver the right development in the right place, and that it's good quality development that can come forward in a timely fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. I think hopefully we'll hear a bit more about the government's planning reforms in the coming months.
Sure we will.
Another issue which is sort of really key in Cambridge is around transport infrastructure. And I think the government touched on it in their announcement. We often hear about the substandard public transport infrastructure that's holding back growth in Cambridge. There is a new station currently built at Cambridge South. I think East-West Rail now, Touchwood, seems to be progressing. What more do you think can be done to address this transport deficit, and how can the government make this a key priority in their plans?
I mean, to my mind, again, it does boil down to investment. So I'm sorry to bang on about that, but that is obviously a key consideration. But I think also what's really important is that as development choices are considered for Cambridge and the Greater Cambridge area, we need to make sure that they are genuinely sustainable solutions. Historically, what has happened in Cambridge because of the green belt around the city, which for many, many years was completely untouched. A lot of the development that supported Cambridge was pushed beyond the green belt, out into market towns and sort of larger villages. And of course, what happened was that people then had to commute back into the city. So what we have to try and ensure is that we avoid, kind of repeating those mistakes. Now, that's not to say that some of the growth can't be delivered, away from Cambridge, but where that happens, it should be supported by, high-quality public transport that actually can move large volumes of people. Mm. So East-West Rail, absolutely a really positive thing, and I think that will give great scope for some further development on the west side of Cambridge, particularly around Campbell, which is due to get a new railway station. We've obviously got the new development coming on stream at Water Beach. That's served by rail, and that's obviously a really good thing. And I think there will be other locations that will be well served by rail, particularly with the advent of East-West Rail. But I think also, crucially, the council and the government as well, dare I say, need to have a very serious look at development on the edge of Cambridge. Some of the big sites that I've already mentioned that are currently in the pipeline, such as the airport and the northeast Cambridge site, they're brownfield sites. They were in the Greenbelt, but they've been removed to facilitate development. But we can't just fixate against the notion of not releasing greenfield land as well, because there are some fantastically situated sites on the edge of Cambridge that could help deliver the employment space and the residential homes space that is actually required. So we need a balanced portfolio of sites, but it needs to be done with great care and obviously with substantial funding.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it feels like there'll come a point where we will have to look seriously at some of those other sites you mentioned. You mentioned sort of outer Cambridge. I wonder, do you think the government is too narrow in its focus by focusing sort of solely on Cambridge? Do you think we should be looking at the rest of Cambridgeshire, Huntingdonshire, East Cambs, Peterborough? Obviously they've got the university up there. If they're committed to levelling up, should they not be taking a sort of wider view?
The short answer is yes, they should be taking a wider view. The longer answer is that it's slightly more complicated than that, because whilst it is obviously very laudable to think that the magic dust, if you like, that exists in Cambridge could be liberally sprinkled beyond Cambridge, the reality is that there are a lot of businesses, you know, emerging businesses, you know, international businesses who actually want to be in or immediately adjacent to the city, rather than, you know, 10, 15, 20 miles away from the city. And, you know, we see that consistently with occupiers who, you know, make that point extraordinarily clearly. Having said that, you know, clearly if we have a, you know, very, you know, successful economic zone in the city itself, there will be a need for supporting industries and businesses, perhaps in the mid-tech sectors and other sectors as well, which, you know, will need to support Cambridge. And very often those businesses will not need to be in and around the city, and obviously they will all have workforce requirements as well. So it's about a balance ultimately. Cambridge obviously is the jewel in the crown. That's where people want to be. That's where the affordability issues are at their most stark at the moment. And then other areas beyond definitely have a role to play in supporting that. But we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that Cambridge is the real driver of this.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very good point around sort of mid-tech sectors, you know, whether they could be located in places like Huntingdonshire or Peterborough, for that matter.
Absolutely.
I've got one more question for you while you're here. I want you to imagine that you are on this new Cambridge delivery group advising the government. What would your main piece of advice be, having worked in Cambridge for a long time and having had a lot of experience of local planning issues in the city? What would your piece of advice be?
I think above all else, you need to be in control of the narrative. You need to be able to explain to people why you're doing things in a certain way, to try and see whether you can therefore take people with you on the journey. I think, you know, at the moment, my perception, and it's not just limited to Cambridge, I think it's everywhere, is that there is a bit of an anti-development sentiment, simply because development has not always been brought forward in a considerate or aesthetically pleasing way. And, you know, we all know that the infrastructure that is required to support that development has simply not been, you know, it's not arisen in the way that it should. So I think, you know, if there is a vision from government as to what it wants Cambridge to be, it really has to spell that vision out. It needs to demonstrate that actually change and development can be a positive thing. It can be good for people. Mm. At the end of the day, we all need a job. We all need a house. You know, we all need open spaces. We all need shops to use. We all need cultural places to visit. And I think if it's done at, you know, at scale, but with a very, 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 very real focus, real sharp focus on the quality of place that we're delivering, then I think, you know, we're in with half a chance. And I think also engage the younger generation. I think, you know, we all know that, you know, what has generally happened in this country is that it tends to be the older people, you know, a bit more established, probably like myself, I suppose, who ultimately don't like to see change and they don't want to see their way of life sort of too badly affected. And I think the younger generation are paying the penalty for that. So we need to engage with the younger generation as well, because it's their future, really, that we need to be thinking about.
Yeah.
It's spoken like a father, isn't it?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Yeah,
I completely agree with you. I think it's definitely been brought into sort of sharper focus recently, you know, especially for Generation Rent, is that what they call them?
Yes.
Call us, rather.
Yeah,
I think taking people along that journey with you is vital, and yeah, especially the younger generation as well. So I think that's it. Thank you so much for coming on.
It's been a pleasure.
It's really great to get your input. So yeah, thank you very much to our listeners, and see you on the next episode.
Thank you.